20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast app at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks so much for being here. Hope your weekend is set to be epic and amazing. We're closing in, of course, on the NFL draft just a few weeks away. I had the opportunity today to go through two players that are very much in that prime, you know, potential 23 range. Mykel Williams, Derek Harmon, spent a lot of time on those two players today. Obviously, as we get closer to the draft or through the course of the next few weeks, we'll go over a lot of these players. A lot might be aggressive, but some of these players, including probably these two, in far greater detail. But man, two very fun players to study. I see why so many of you want Derek Harmon as the pick at 23. Very fun player to study. Very, very fun player to study. I was blown away by just like every single play was like, oh, he made a play again. Oh, he made another play. Oh, he made a play in the run game. Oh, he made a play in the pass game. Oh, there's a pressure. Oh, the offensive lineman couldn't block him again. It was just like, it was over and over and over. You know, you first start watching a player and you get your first impressions, and then you sort of start doing that thing of like, all right, well, who does he kind of compare to? And then you sort of just erase all of that and you just get down to the actual minutia and the things that he does well, the things he doesn't do well. Man, what a unbelievable player he was this past season, and just a very fun, you know, idea of a player next to Kenny Clark in Green Bay. If Clark can get back playing the way that you would want to, I mean, those guys can be interchangeable on the defensive line at defensive tackle. Just a perfect fit for Green Bay at that defensive tackle spot. And like, you could play, I totally believe you could play Harmon and Wyatt together. Then you could play obviously Wyatt and Clark together. You play Harmon and Clark together. I mean, just gives you so much versatility along that defensive front. So really, really fun player. Again, I can see now why so many of you have been like, hey, Derek Harmon, pick at 20, like every single mock draft you see is Harmon. Yeah, get it now. Mykel Williams, the fun player to study for sort of a different reason. Turn on the 24 tape and you're like, what are we doing here? Not only is there like the lack of impact plays, not only is there a sort of the lack of production and productivity, but like good athlete, but we're not talking like Shamar Stewart, like freaky here in 2024, like some impressive plays on tape. Don't get me wrong, but you sort of like, all right, if the production's not there, I need to see like a utter freak that I can like project this a little bit easier. And, or if like vice versa, right? All right. If he's not an athletic freak, like I need to see some big time production. And I'm watching the 24 tape and kind of the opposite of Derek Harmon. I'm not seeing like play after play of big time, you know, epic plays that I'm like, oh my goodness. It was kind of the opposite. And so I'm like kind of ready to write up like, you know, probably second round grade for him, you know, mid to late second round grade, somewhere in there. And then after I do my initial eval, I go and I then finally read, you know, what Daniel Jeremiah, because I'm going off Daniel Jeremiah's top 50. I think Jeremiah is one of the best, and I go off his top 50. So then I read what he has to say. And the first thing in there is that he was hurt very early on in 2024, and his 2024 tape is not indicative of who he is as a player. So I jumped to the 2023 tape and holy crap, what a difference that tape was. It was unbelievably fun and a perfect fit and exactly a Packers type. Fantastic against the run. A very tough player to block one-on-one. Beat people on the outside, beat people on the inside. You can move him inside a little bit, stand him up, put his hand in the dirt. Tons of versatility. A Packers type through and through. I would be willing to bet you Goody and friends are drooling about the possibility of Mykel Williams playing in Green Bay. And of course, Georgia player as well. That certainly has seemed to help over the years, at least of getting to Green Bay. Whether or not those players have turned out in Green Bay has been a different story. But two very fun players and two players I think Green Bay is going to be very interested in. So we'll go over those more in greater detail as time goes on. But had the opportunity to study those two players today. We'll be studying a lot more over the weekend. But as I mentioned earlier, hope you guys are setting up for an amazing weekend as well. Make sure, of course, to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Make sure you're checking out the audio Pack-A-Day channel as well. If you're watching this on YouTube, there is a full channel for the Pack-A-Day podcast on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, right? And you can find this, if you're on YouTube, you can find this recording every single day on the audio channels as well. But you're also getting Ross's Daily Draft. Andrew and Kyle, who were filling in for me on Sunday that did the mock draft, they are doing a full series going pick by pick, all 32 picks, going on the clock with that team and what that team is going to be considering, what their needs are, and then actually kind of doing a long-term mock draft here. So, and you're getting a prospect breakdown as they go through that as well. That's really fun. And then we have a full team of 25 people where we also bring in draft experts like Rob Rager and Owen Reese to come in during draft time and help with the draft analysis as well. So we've got a team of 25-ish people that are on the audio side. So if you're only watching on YouTube, make sure you're checking out the audio channel as well. A couple pieces of news and notes before we get to our main topic. Jaire Alexander, Xavier McKinney, I meant to talk about it yesterday and just slipped my mind, but they worked out together. And, you know, I think it was McKinney who posted it and he and Jaire were together. You guys know my thoughts on the topic. I'm not going to go into it. I still believe Jaire Alexander is going to be playing elsewhere. But for the first time, we're starting to see a few breadcrumbs that could swing the conversation a little bit in the opposite direction. Jaire Alexander welcoming Nate Hobbs to the Packers, and or at least congratulating him on becoming a Green Bay Packer. Could that be much ado about nothing? Yes. Could it be something? Sure. The fact that Brian Gutekunst said, hey, if we can't, you know, if we've put a lot of value into Jaire Alexander, we want to get some ROI on that if he's not going to be a Packer. What if they don't find that? As Justice kind of pointed out, does that mean they're going to want him back because they're not going to give him up for nothing? That's sort of an interesting dynamic. And then he's all of a sudden working out with Xavier McKinney. Could that be much ado about nothing? Absolutely. Could just be two guys that got to know each other, were in a similar area and said, hey, let's work out together. Cool. Post something to social. It'll do numbers, whatever. And the rest is history. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be playing together this year, but the first breadcrumbs that we've gotten where maybe there's still some, you know, connective tissue between Jaire and the Packers, and maybe it's not a complete foregone conclusion, which I have, by the way, said all the way along. Don't think it's completely slam shut. Still expect Jaire to be off the team this season, but we'll see. We'll see. Mini camp and OTA schedules are released. A couple notes here. When you see the mini camp and OTA schedule online, I'm not going to post it or go over the dates in great detail here. First of all, I hate this, by the way. The Packers, who are owned by the fans, have ever since COVID closed OTAs and mini camps. There used to be open OTAs and mini camps to the public, and that has gone away. And I hate that so much. Not much that I get on the Packers too much about. You know, obviously, there's certain things, but that is one that I just... Why are you closing that down? There's no competitive advantage. You know, it's mini camp, it's OTAs. Open that up to the fans. It was one of my favorites, by the way, as a fan before I was credentialed, because it didn't have sort of the hustle and bustle of training camp and like all the pageantry. It was just hardcore nerdy fans showing up to watch, to get their first glimpse at the new free agents and the new draft picks. Really hope that they at some point reevaluate that decision, because I hate that it's no longer open to the fans. But even when you see those dates out there, A, know that it's probably not open to the fans, and B, it's not open to the media other than usually each week. So there's like 3 weeks, 1 week of OTAs, another week of OTAs, and then a week of mini camps. There's usually one practice each of those weeks that's actually open to the media. So just because you see them on the schedule does not mean that we will have access to all of those. In fact, usually in years past, at least recently, none open to the public, three of them open to the media, and that's all we get. Those ones that are open to the media, you can rest assured I will be there covering it for you and breaking down everything in great detail. So another reason to make sure you like and subscribe and make sure that the you know, your friends know about the Packaday podcast. I'll put it that way. Packers finalized their coaching staff. Finally. Oh, some of these things just like they drag them out forever. No real surprises. There's a couple fellowships and things like that that you can check out over on Packers.com and see all the coaches that are out there. Duggan gets the linebacker spot. Mannion gets the quarterback spot. DeMarcus Covington, defensive line and run game coordinator. Pretty much everything that we expected it to be. No real shockers or surprises. It's exactly pretty much the coaching staff that we had known about, but now it is finalized and official. And again, you can see the full coaching staff over on Packers.com, and they have a whole write-up about it as well over there. Matthew Golden looks like he is visiting the Packers on a top 30 visit. Had the flight that he took on Instagram and posted that he's in Green Bay. So it seems like he is going to be in town for a top 30 visit. That's a very, very fun player. Packers going to get a look at a wide receiver that could be available at 23 And as we talked about the other day, you know, maybe just maybe Green Bay bust that streak of not taking a wide receiver in the first round. If Golden's there at 23, it's a really, really interesting conversation. I would be interested. I would love to know, of course, their entire board, but I would love to know where Matthew Golden is on their board. Really interesting prospect. And again, a potential deep threat at wide receiver with a 4.2940, good height, good size, good route runner. He really could be one if he's there at 23 that Green Bay takes a long, hard pause. And if there's like a Harmon there and a Golden there, or like all, like those are going to be some very interesting conversations. And of course, they've had all these conversations. They've got their board probably pretty much finalized already, but I would love to know where they have Golden. But they'll obviously get a little bit more information as he is in town, and they're going to have him in for that top 30 visit. What I want to do today is go over just a smattering of draft thoughts. There's not really any one direction that I want to go here other than like what Green Bay is sort of going to try to accomplish in this draft, some of the philosophies that I think that they'll have, some of the strategies and just what they need, what they'd like to come out of this draft with. Should they trade up? Should they trade down? Should they accumulate more picks? When's the earliest that they can take some of these positions? I want to go through a little bit of all of it. So just sort of an all-encompassing, where do we stand right now and what should Green Bay be looking for and what should we be expecting out of this draft? So I think there are certain things, and I want to start here, that Green Bay needs to accomplish. Needs. I'm not saying wants to or would like to or be a nice to have. They absolutely have to accomplish between now and the first game of the regular season. Or at least like some of these maybe you could get away with waiting until like the trade deadline. But if you really want to be a contender at the end of the year, I believe these things are needs on this team. They're not debatable. There are six of them. Number one is still a field stretching wide receiver. I am willing to at least give some benefit of the doubt. If they feel like Christian Watson can come back around week 12 and actually be Christian Watson, that maybe he can eventually regain his form and be that guy towards the end of the year. If I'm Green Bay, though, I cannot rest on that. And I know that everyone will point to Bo Melton and, you know, being a 4.3 guy and, you know, Mecole Hardman being like a 4.2 guy. Be like, look, they have speed. These have not been players that have in their careers won consistently down the field. Every once in a while, can you find a player like Wicks or Dobbs or Reed or, you know, one of these guys open down the field? Yes, absolutely. But it's not a consistent downfield deep ball threat. That's not who those players are. Green Bay does not have a player on their roster right now that exists in that realm. And it is, to me, a massively, massively important aspect of Matt LaFleur's offense and just the modern NFL. You have to have somebody that can stretch the field. So it doesn't even necessarily have to be a perfect, well-rounded deep threat. Somebody like they brought in, like MVS, gave them that deep threat very early on in his career. Was he efficient at it? No. But did he at least give them some 4.3 40 speed with great size on the outside that you could stretch the field with? Absolutely. And I do think there's some players in this draft that fit that. It doesn't necessarily have to be via the draft. You're running out of options. I've talked about maybe trading for a Jalin Hyatt, or maybe they have to be a little bit more creative with how they go about this. But I believe they need a field stretching wide receiver. I believe they need at least one more good depth piece along the offensive line. I like where they're at. I think they have six right now and then question marks. They've got their five starters. I'll just put Jordan Morgan as the number six right now. They've got six guys. Could Jacob Monk or Travis Glover, Kadeem Telfert, one of these guys, Donovan Jennings, step up and be that guy? Maybe, but I would like a little bit more security or at least a little bit more competition. Maybe that's a second or third round pick in the draft. Maybe that's finding a free agent that's still out there, a Jedrick Wills. I don't know if he would be that seventh guy, but I would feel a little bit better with his experience in the league. I want at least one more depth piece along the offensive line. I would love to have seven that I felt confident in. Right now there's six. I would like to get one more. And that's, again, I'm going to re-clarify that. They need to get one more. I do think they, to some extent, need a blocking tight end. It just doesn't exist on their roster right now. And that's sort of a weird thing. This is not anything that's like a complete game changer. It's not going to change the offense in any real, like, insane way. But I do think it is a legitimate piece that Matt really uses. And you look at where this offense stands and whether it has been, you know, Mercedes Lewis in the past, and now that they're becoming more of a run team with Josh Jacobs, Tucker's a good, solid blocker. Musgrave is not. Sims is meh, and I don't know that he's guaranteed to make the team. Like, they really could use a blocking tight end, somebody that can help open those holes, but also give you a little bit of a receiving threat. They just don't have that guy. And as they do transition into more of a run team with Josh Jacobs, I think that is something that they actually need to make this run game even more functional. They don't have that H-back fullback type. They don't have a run blocking tight end. Like, there is a piece that I feel like is missing there in some way. So that's another need. They need a run-stopping defensive tackle. Now, there's different ways that you can go about getting that, but TJ Slayton is gone, all right? Carl Brooks is a borderline defensive end in this defense. Like, he's a three technique at best. He kind of moved to both spots. Colby Wooden's a three technique. Devontae Wyatt's a three technique. And Kenny Clark, you know, it has been that three technique this past year. He's going to probably have to move back to kind of that nose tackle, you know, run-stopping defensive tackle spot a little bit. But they still need one more. And you are Kenny Clark away, you know, a Kenny Clark injury away from being like, oh my goodness, like what are you going to do in this situation? So they need at least one more run-stopping defensive tackle. No questions asked. They need bodies at linebacker. Right now, they only have five. You can't go into camp with just five linebackers. You need probably about eight, I would say, at least. So I'm not saying that they need a top-end linebacker. They just need some bodies. They need a few more guys at linebacker, no questions asked. And they need depth and competition at corner. I'm not saying that they need a top-flight number one guy. Let's put Jaire to the side right now. You still right now have basically Hobbs, Nixon, and Valentine. All right, Bullard's going to play some in the slot, yes. But as true corners, Hobbs, Nixon, Valentine. I don't think you can put any stock into Kalen King or Kamal Haddon at this point. So you've got three true corners. That is nowhere near enough. And the other guys are great, you know, back of the roster, competition, things like that. But you need legitimate depth. Those are your needs going into this draft and that need to be addressed, prior to the start of the season. Field stretching wide receiver, at least one more depth piece along the offensive line, a blocking tight end, a run-stopping defensive tackle, a few more bodies at linebacker, at least for training camp, and competition and depth at corner. Those are your needs. The wants are a little bit different. There are some things that Green Bay should want coming out of this draft, six of them as well. They want stars. I don't know that they can find any more stars, but a want would be, can you find a couple more upper echelon players? Trey Hendrickson is still out there. I don't expect that to happen. The Jaire Alexander situation is still out there. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But can you find a few more top-end players for this team? And a few more, no, they cannot. Can you find one more top-end player for this team? Maybe you actually hit on your first-round draft choice. Maybe you find another Edgerrin Cooper-esque player in the second round. Maybe, I mean, there are different ways to do this, right? But can you find, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a star right away, but that's a want, right? You would love to have another star on this team. You would love to find a legitimate true playmaker at wide receiver. You would love to find another big-time pass rusher or a big-time pass rusher for this team. You would love to have a legitimate starting caliber corner that can come in and compete with Nixon and Hobbs or be that third guy with the starters, compete with Carrington, Valentine, etc. You would love additional bodies at wide receiver and defensive tackle for 2026. Meaning wide receiver right now in 2026, the only two I can look at and say pretty much for sure, Wicks and Reed. Defensive tackle, I can't say any of them. Wyatt's got his fifth-year option. Kenny Clark's got savings by releasing him next year if he has another poor season like he did last year, or at least that, you know, season that didn't live up to the contract. He could be on the chopping block. And then, you know, Carl Brooks, I think he'll be here, but again, he's going to have to earn his way in. Colby Wooden's going to have to earn his way in the spot this year. Like they don't have the bodies in 2026, so you'll love more players at those two spots, and maybe a developmental quarterback as well that could maybe fill in for Malik Willis next year if Willis leaves in free agency. Those are some wants, not needs, but wants. You might say 80 pass rush is a need or a playmaker at wide receiver is a need. I'm not debating that in any real way. We all know, we've all said it all offseason, that those are specific spots that Green Bay really needs to address. When I say need, it's like they can't really continue to function, or like they absolutely have to fill those spots. I'm not quite there with pass rush or you know, with wide receiver. Do they need it to compete for a Super Bowl? That's maybe a different story. And you could, again, parse that out however which way that you want. I think those are a little bit different. Those are hard desires, hard wants, and things that you really want to accomplish. It's going to just be a little bit tougher as you're going into a draft in the remainder of this offseason. So those are where I think Green Bay stands with needs and wants. The next question is, how many starters does Green Bay really need to get out of this draft and kind of the remainder of this offseason? I think you can make the argument that the answer is zero, that they don't need any particular starter. I can tell already there's probably some people, some wide receiver. Okay, maybe. All right. And again, in an ideal world, yes, there would be another playmaker at wide receiver that can come in and at minimum compete for a starting job. But what I would tell you is Love, Jacobs, Wicks, Dobbs, Reed, Kraft, Walker, Banks, Jenkins, Ryan, Tom is a legitimately, you know, good to really good starting 11 on offense, or at least has the ability to be. I don't go into any game feeling like Love, Jacobs, Wicks, Dobbs, Reed, Kraft, Walker, Banks, Jenkins, Ryan, and Tom is not good enough, that they can't, with Matt LaFleur, and if Jordan's playing well, can't go out and put 30 points on anyone. To me, it is a really good starting lineup that you don't have like a true weakness. I don't look at any of those 11 and be like, whew, how is that player on the field? They have, to me, 11 starters. On defense, Rashawn Gary, LVN, Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker, Edrin Cooper, Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs, Javon Bullard in the slot, Evan Williams, Xavier McKinney. You've got 11 starters there. And there's some other players I could put in that conversation as well. Carrington Valentine, you know, maybe one of the other safeties, certainly maybe a Kingsley Enagbare or maybe even a Brenton Cox, Carl Brooks. There's others as well, maybe in the conversation, but I feel like they have a starting 11. They've got a long snapper in Matt Orzech, a kicker in Brandon McManus, a punter in Daniel Whalen. I don't feel like you go into this draft saying, oh my God, they absolutely have to do that because it's a completely barren position. I just don't see it. I think they have 22 starters and three specialists that they can go into the season feeling like we've got starters everywhere. The level of starters, that's debatable. And we all know, I'm not debating in any sort of real way that they couldn't use a wide receiver, corner, pass rusher. We've discussed that ad nauseum for months, right? But that's where I feel like Green Bay is going into this draft. Now, Mark Oldacres had a really good idea. I have not read the article yet, but definitely go check it out over on cheeseheadtv.com. I wanted to not read the article specifically because I thought it was a cool idea and I wanted to go over it today, and I didn't just want to read his article and just regurgitate it, right? So I've not read his yet. I am going to be interested as soon as I'm done here to go read Mark's article to see if we agreed on everything or if we disagreed. But as you go position by position, what's the earliest round that Green Bay could take each position? So let's just go. I'm going to do a pretty speed round here. I'm not going to go into any great depth. Quarterback, there's no world where I think they can take one in round one. I think that's fair to say. If they loved, and I mean loved, fell in complete head over heels love with any sort of quarterback, could you take it in round two? Sure. It's the most important position in football. If you think that you found a stud in round two, by all means, go for it, take it, and you figure out the rest later. I don't think that's likely. I think probably day three is where the first real like idea of taking a quarterback, right? And I think they really could take one to develop into that number three this year, and then hopefully be the backup next year if and when Malik Willis leaves in free agency. So day three is probably the answer. But at quarterback, if ever you're in a position where it's the best player on your board and you have a very high grade and they're there, you're probably better just taking them. So I'll say day two, even in round two, but the truer answer is probably day three. Running back, it's day three and probably late day three. And again, I don't want to say like, again, if you fell in love with a running back in like the fourth round or something that you couldn't take them, but there's just a law of diminishing returns here. Like you've got Josh Jacobs, he's not going anywhere. Marshawn Lloyd, you just spent a third round pick on a season ago and have high hopes for. And Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks are easily both 53-man roster players. And you're certainly not keeping five running backs. And if you take a running back in the fourth round, you were taking them to keep them. Now there could be injuries and things like that, but you know, you're going to need at least one injury in order to, you know, keep the other four. To me, this is probably late day three is when you want to start looking at running backs. And it's a very deep running back draft as well. So save that running back pick to round six, round seven, or maybe even more likely an undrafted free agent. Wide receiver, very clearly they can take one first round or anytime after that. Tight end, I will say day two, if they found the right tight end to be that blocking tight end, or just kind of fit the offense as whether it be an H-back, fullback type, or H-back, fullback's probably a little bit different because I don't think you're going to get that value on day two. But if they found a legitimately really good blocking tight end that also had the ability to be at least a bit of a factor in the passing game, I could see them taking one, you know, probably more like round three, kind of in that Richard Rodgers type range, Josiah DeGuara type range. I'm not saying those worked out, but Green Bay's done it in the past. I think probably late day two, so third round, and certainly anything on day three is fair game for tight end. Offensive line, defensive end, defensive tackle, all round one. All defensive end and defensive tackle are easy, right? I'll just define offensive line really quick. I talked about it earlier. I think you could use one more piece, and you can just never have enough offensive linemen. And Zach Tom, while he's very much expected to be back, is an unrestricted free agent. Sean Ryan, Rashid Walker, all unrestricted free agents. You save $20 million by releasing Elton Jenkins next year. You can just never have enough of these guys. So offensive line, first round. Defensive end, defensive tackle, first round. Linebacker, off-ball linebacker, I should say. I think third is about the earliest. You're probably bringing back Quay. I don't think he's going to end up going anywhere, whether it's a fifth-year option or some sort of extension. I think he's going to be a Packer for at least a few more seasons. Edgerrin Cooper is going to play a ton. He's a star. He's in the making. He's a stud. He's going to play a ton. You've already taken a third-round flyer on Tyron Hopper. You just brought back Isaiah McDuffie. You know, Christian Welch is a flyer back of the roster guy, but I can't imagine you could spend a first or second round, but there's just not enough snaps to go around. So I think third round would be the earliest, but again, probably more likely day three for linebacker. Corners, very clearly first round. Safety, like late day three at best. I mean, you have Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, who can start back there. I thought Katana Ladapo looked like a starter when he got in last year. I thought Zane Anderson looked like at least a decent starter when he got in last year. I liked Omar Brown as a, you know, back of the like roster, you know, fifth or sixth safety on a team. They're stacked. They're absolutely stacked. They don't need, like, they probably need a body or two for just training camp. That's it. That this is probably undrafted free agent. Again, if you're in the sixth or seventh round, just take BPA, but you're talking late day three or undrafted free agent at best for safety. Kicker, NA, you've got McManus. There's no need there. Punter, if you loved a punter in the seventh round and wanted competition for Daniel Whalen, could you probably do it? Sure. In all likelihood, undrafted free agent at best. You probably don't even need competition for him. Long snapper, same thing. If you felt like there was a revolutionary long snapper in the seventh round at the end, could you take that player? Sure. It's not the end of the world, but more likely they're just going to stick with Orzik and maybe bring in a undrafted free agent to compete with him. So that's where I'm at with where I think the earliest that they can get each of those selections. The next one that I wanted to go over is, should Green Bay trade up, trade down, or stay pat? And I talked about this a little bit in the live chat the other day. I know Goody said he's got, what, 8 picks for now, and insinuated that he'll have more picks by the when all is said and done. And I think that's probably true. I think he will have more picks than that. But what I talked about on the live show the other day, and what I firmly believe, is that the board will dictate this for Goody. And what I mean by that is, whether or not he trades up, stays, or trades down is going to be dependent on how the draft goes. And this is just kind of draft 101, but I'll go over it just in its basic format anyway. When Goody is on the clock, let's say he's got 16 first round picks on his board, right? He's picking at 23. And now maybe, you know, Cam Ward and, you know, Shedeur Sanders and some of those guys that, you know, are going to go, maybe, I mean, Cam Ward for sure, maybe Shedeur Sanders goes ahead. Maybe there's a few other ones that aren't on his board that are clearly going to go early in this draft. Maybe he gets to pick 18 and he looks up on his board and he's got 4 guys left on his board or 5 guys left on his board. And then one of those guys goes pick 19. Maybe there's a guy that he really likes left on there, maybe like a high first round pick. And then, you know, maybe he makes a phone call. Can he get up? No, he can't get up. So that player goes at 20 and whatever. All of a sudden you get to pick, let's just say you get to pick 20, right? You get to pick 20 and there's one guy left that's on your board that's a first round grade and you're at pick 23. So what are you going to do in that situation? You probably start immediately calling up to pick 20, pick 21, pick 22. Can we get up to make sure that we get this guy? And if you can give a third round pick or whatever it might take to get up those few spots and get the last first round guy on your board, you probably will. And it's probably worth it. And I think that's exactly what happened with Jordan Love in 2020. I think they really liked Brandon Ayuk, Justin Jefferson. I think a lot of those guys went off the board before Green Bay selected, obviously. And then I believe Jordan was probably the last first round grade they had on that. They gave up a late fourth round pick to move up, I think, three or four spots to go get Jordan. And it was clearly worth it at the time because he was probably the last real, true, legitimate first round grade that they had on their board. So they went and got him. And that's how it's probably going to work again, you know, with Goody. If you see him move up, it's probably because the amount of first round picks were dwindling on his board and he felt like he needed to do so. If you can't get up, then you hope and pray that that guy that you have left on your board stays till 23. And if he does, guess what happens? You stay at 23 and you take that guy. And you're very thankful and all's well that ends well. You didn't have to give up a pick to move up. You still got your guy and you're probably celebrating with a little bit of, what did Goody say on Nagler show? He's got some, fridge beers in the garage or garage beers in the fridge, I should say. So that's probably one that he pops one a little bit after, is a little bit excited about that one. Got his guy, didn't have to move up. The other thing that happens though is a couple things. Either A, that guy goes and now you're on the clock at 23 and you're like, all right, we don't have, all of our first round picks are gone. We want to get out of this. And now maybe you can, maybe you can't. If you can't, you just have to pick and, you know, take who's ever best on your board, because it's not, it takes two to tango, right? If you can get back, then you start moving back and so on and so forth. But the other thing that can happen, whether it's with first round picks or second round picks or any point in the draft, is you can also look up and you can say, you get to pick 23 and you look on your board and there's six guys. We'll say five guys that are all very equally graded. You don't have one over the other. It's a cluster, right? You've got five guys clustered together. No difference. And you get a call from the team that's four picks back and they're willing to give you a third round pick to move up four spots. And you see that you've got five guys on your board and you can move back those four spots. You're still guaranteed to have two of those guys that are on the clock when you pick. And so you move back the four spots, you pick up a third round pick, and now there's at least two guys left that you get to choose from. Now, maybe you do that. You move back four spots. And now maybe there's four guys still left. And maybe there's a team three picks down that's willing to trade and give you a fourth round pick to move up three spots. And you know that you can move back three spots. And at least, again, two of those guys are still going to be on the board. So you move back three more spots, you pick up a fourth round pick, and you still get one of your two guys that you want for sure. I think that's probably what happened in the second round a couple of years ago when they took Jaden Reed. They probably had Jaden Reed and Brian Branch and a few other guys that they really liked at that point in the draft. So they move back a handful of spots. They pick up a fourth round pick, something like that. They move back a handful of more spots after that because they still thought that their board was good, that was deep enough. So they move back a handful of more spots, get maybe a fifth round pick. I forget what it was, but in that situation, I think they are at least two fifths, because it was Carl Brooks and Dontavian Wicks that they ended up getting with those trade backs. And then they still got Jaden Reed in the second round. So they maneuvered the board, moved back two times, still got Jaden Reed, and in the process got draft picks that ended up being Dontavian Wicks and Carl Brooks. So every trade opportunity is going to be dependent on where the board is. If the board says, hey, there's one guy left, we better move up, then you better move up if that player is really, truly worth it. And if that player stays on the board and you've got one, maybe two guys on your board that you love left, then you take them. You don't hesitate. You go to the podium and you get that in there as soon as possible. And if your board is either A, stacked with five to six guys that you will love altogether, well, then get five picks back. Or if everyone went and you just have now, like, there's not any five or six guys, now there's 25 guys that you have second round grades on, well, get back and pick up as much draft capital as you can, because now you're in that next tier of players. And again, it takes two to tango, but that's how I very much feel Goody will go about reviewing his board and acting logically based on what his board says. And he's very, very good at doing that. The question then becomes, does Goody even need more picks? Can he use 10, 11, 12 picks? The answer is yes. Now, go back and listen to our episode with Justice earlier this week, and him and I talked about, you're going to need to restock this team with young, talented, cheap contracts. Jordan Love already got paid. Zach Tom is about to get paid a major contract. You've paid Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs, and all of a sudden, some of these contracts are going to start to explode, and or you're going to lose guys like Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson and Rashid Walker and Sean Ryan. Some of those guys are going to be out the door. So you're going to need to restock the cupboard with young, cheap contracts. And if you can have 12 picks in this draft to help try to do that, awesome. I go through and I count maybe 35 to maybe 40 guys at the very, very most who are kind of locks to make this team. You absolutely have plenty of space for competition on this team right now. So yeah, you can absolutely pick 12, 15 guys, and maybe not all of them make it. Usually a couple of those seventh rounders do not, or, you know, or whatever it ends up being, but they absolutely can take on more draft picks. And if it ends up coming that way, that they do get more picks, which I'm sure Goody would love, that is not a problem at all in any way, shape, or form. Another thing to consider is if you do trade back, or if there are teams that are maybe desperate to get up, can you get future picks? Not just any future picks. Can you pick on some dumb teams? Can you pick on some bad teams? There's five of them. Giants, Browns, Jets, Saints, and Raiders. Those five teams are not expected to be very, very good in 2025. And that could mean that their 2026 draft picks are very valuable. I don't think any of those teams are going to be trading away a 2026 first round pick, because that could be the first pick in the draft. But if you can get a second round pick for something from them, or whatever the case may be, you know, that could end up being almost like a pseudo first round pick, because they could be picking within the first few picks of next year's draft. So if you can maybe pick on those teams, and if any of those teams are desperate and trying to get up earlier, or you know, get a pick, ask them, hey, are you willing to give up your picks next year? Because those could be some very premium picks if you play your cards the right way. Then the last thing is Jaire Alexander. Is this a deal that you want to get done prior to the draft? One thing that you could look to do is maybe move up picks. This is just a dumb example. Don't take this as a like actual legitimate proposal or anything like that. But the Jaguars pick at pick 70 in the draft. Green Bay's at 87. There's been some rumors that the Jacksonville Jaguars are interested in Jaire Alexander. Could you call and say, hey, you get Jaire, we move up 17 picks in the second round. Maybe you have to throw in a sixth round pick or something, whatever. Maybe they have to throw in a sixth round pick, give or take, whatever it might be. But instead of like, if some teams are offering like sixth, seventh round picks or whatever, fifth round picks, you know, maybe instead you just look to do a pick that moves you up in the draft. If you get to pick 70, that maybe gives you a better chance to get one of your guys that are a top 50 rated player in this draft. And you come away with three of your top 50 picks in that scenario. That could be something that Green Bay looks to do as well. The other thing is there a better way to do a conditional pick in 2026 where, you know, maybe it starts as a fifth round pick, but if he plays a certain amount of snaps, it goes to a four, or if he makes a Pro Bowl or a certain amount of interceptions, it goes to a four, or maybe it starts as a four. If he doesn't play much at all, or if he gets injured, it goes to a five or a six. And if he hits a Pro Bowl or All Pro or something like that, it goes to a third. Is there some sort of conditional pick that you could work out with some team as well? That could be something that they try to do prior to the draft to have a little bit more clarity on what picks that they actually have. I think to just kind of wrap things up, the Packers are overall in a good spot here. We all know what they want slash need: pass rush, wide receiver, cornerback competition, right? That where nobody's hiding anything. And we all know exactly where those sort of potential weaknesses are, or some areas of opportunity, I'll put it that way. But for the most part, I do believe Green Bay can go best player available for a huge chunk of this draft, obviously baking in some of those needs and wants into your board as you're looking at best player available. And I do think that the board should fall pretty well in their favor. I think there's going to be some pass rushers and maybe a wide receiver or two that are available in the first round that makes some sense. And I think there's going to be a very deep defensive tackle class that they're going to be able to build that out. I think there's some late round wide receivers that could make sense to bring in some competition as well. I think this draft sets up pretty well for what Green Bay ultimately wants to accomplish. Excited about this draft. If you can't tell, I'm getting to know more and more of these prospects even better. And I'm kind of geeking out about it, if I'm being honest. I'm going to get to more of these breakdowns as time goes on. Hope you enjoyed kind of our draft primer today and where things sit with Green Bay. It's going to be a very fun draft. Of course, we've got a lot of events coming on. Timber Rattler game the week before. I'm going to be at Hagemeister Park the night before the draft. I'm going to be setting up an event on Saturday night as well, as soon as the draft is done, and kind of breaking down everything. I'll have an announcement on that very soon. We've got a lot going on. I'm going to be live during the draft, first and second round for sure, and probably parts of first 2 days and then parts of day three as well, right here on the YouTube channel. So Again, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. We always appreciate that a ton. And keep your eye out for all the stuff that we're going to be doing during draft weekend. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, Carla Delgado, and Willie Winkle Stinkle. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.